In this day and age, we've all learned the lesson that Tom Sawyer learned when he was tasked with painting a fence all those years ago. Why do something yourself when you can pay others to do it for you? And the way technology has evolved, it's easier and more affordable than ever to outsource your work day. There are apps where you can catch a ride, get food delivered, curate your wardrobe, cook your meals, get into shape, and more. Convenience is king, and we are all its hapless subjects, just one subscription service away from total bankruptcy. In tonight's story, we travel 5 years forward into a future where more convenience is at our fingertips than ever before. You are about to meet a father who is going to have a most unconventional conversation with his daughter. Let's get to it. Turn off the television set, flick off the lights, grab a friend or someone who won't mind being kidnapped for a bit, and curl up on your favorite carpet with the radio turned on as Distilled Theater Company presents Proxies, a DTC radio story by Natalie Zuter.
Hi, Frank.
Do I know you? That seat's not open.
You are saving it.
No. Yes. I'm waiting for my daughter.
I know.
Miss, there are plenty of other empty seats. I don't know why you're sitting in this one.
Because it's Mal's seat.
Yes. Wait. How do you know her name?
I'm sitting here because this is where Mal is supposed to sit.
Are you her, her girlfriend?
No, I'm not.
But you know her?
Well enough, yes.
What's so funny? Is this some joke that she put you up to?
Mal's not here, Frank.
What do you mean she's not here?
Why don't we order some coffees and settle in?
I'm gonna call her and straighten this out.
That's not a good idea.
The number you are trying to reach has been... What?
Blocked.
Blocked by who?
By Mal, Frank. Decaf coffee, please?
But... I just talked to her yesterday. She confirmed that she'd be flying in today.
Told you not to pick her up at the airport, right? To meet her at this cafe instead?
How did you... Who are you?
I represent your daughter.
You're her attorney?
No, Frank. I mean, literally.
Stop laughing. I don't know you. I don't know what's going on, and you're laughing at my expense.
You're right. Sorry. You and Mal planned a time and a place to meet, and now I'm here.
What's your name?
For the purposes of this conversation, I'm Mal.
I don't understand. Where is my daughter?
Mal's not coming. I'm here instead.
Why? What could you possibly have to say to me?
Okay, so there's this thing called spoon theory.
Yes, I've heard of it.
I'm sure you haven't. You start your day with a certain number of spoons that help you deal with various challenges, big and small. For some people, getting out of bed can take more than one spoon. Or getting dressed, commuting to work. And that's even before they have to deal with microaggressions about their race, their gender, their bodily autonomy.
So once they run out of spoons, they can't handle whatever comes after because they've already used up all their energy.
Yes, well, that's right.
Mal explained it to me once, or tried to. She was crying through most of it, but I got the gist.
She didn't mention that.
When you can see that you've hurt your child, you pay attention.
Spoon theory is a way of explaining the invisible costs of emotional labor. Yes?
I didn't say anything.
No, you sighed. At emotional labor.
It's your generation's need to name everything, to make everything into a bigger deal than it is.
You think it wasn't a big deal when your wife was the one who just happened to remember the times for your family's therapy appointments? Not to mention the therapist's name?
How do you know about that?
We don't create these things out of thin air. We just name them. Mal told me.
Well, I showed up, didn't I?
You were dragged there, it sounds like.
What the hell do you know about it?
See this binder, Frank? This is all just Mal's file.
You have a file on my daughter. What are you, with the NSA or something?
I assume you're familiar with the gig economy.
Somewhat.
You use Instacart to get your groceries delivered?
Some days it's difficult to get to the store.
There's nothing wrong with it. How about TaskRabbit? where you hire someone to run an errand for you or come and install your shelves at home?
In my home? You kids are far too trusting of strangers.
How about Uber, trusting a stranger to drive you around with no sense of how good a driver they are?
That's different. They're like cabbies. They're the best people for the job.
Exactly. I work for a startup called Spoons. For our clients, emotional labor is another task to be fulfilled by someone better equipped to do so. A proxy.
I don't understand. You came all the way out here from San Francisco?
I don't live in San Francisco. I live 2 hours away by bus.
You live here? Then how do you know my daughter?
Spoon sets up Skype dates ahead of time to get to know the client enough to properly carry on the conversation for them. It's not based on where the client is, but where the conversation has to take place. Spoons puts out a call for the task on the feed for my area with certain specifications. I still had to compete with a dozen other proxies for the gig.
How do I have any proof that what you're saying is true?
Do you demand proof from your Instacart delivery person? Do you double check an Uber license plate every time a car pulls up in front of you?
I know to expect those. I didn't know that this was happening today.
Cabbies have medallions, Uber drivers have decals. Here's mine.
You said you know Mal.
I know a bit about who she is, her life, her beliefs, her hopes, her relationship with you.
But you're not her friend. She hired you to tell me what, that she wasn't coming to visit?
To tell you that I'm cutting off contact. Permanently.
What?
Dad, it's just too difficult for both of us. Every time we talk ends in a shouting match.
Stop that. Stop talking like her.
These are Mal's words.
You're a stranger. What right do you have to tell me about what my daughter thinks?
It's my job to communicate what she thinks and what she feels. Dad, we haven't been able to have a productive conversation in years. If we keep up like this, we'll hate each other.
I'm not having this conversation.
You have to.
The hell I do. I don't care if you have a medallion or what. You're not Mal, so none of what you're saying matters.
If you leave now, you will never get another chance to hear the last thing your daughter has to say to you. I'm contracted to have this conversation only once.
Who the hell are you to talk to me like this?
I'm Joe.
Like Joe?
Josephine.
That's a much prettier name. Why don't you use that?
I'll definitely consider that, Frank. Dad.
You work for a company that has you going around calling strangers dad?
Or mom. Sweetie. Asshole. Or, you know, their names.
Joe, what makes a young woman like you take on a job like this?
That's not relevant to the conversation.
But there, you just said, this is a conversation. We go back and forth.
You and Mal do. Joe is not important. Anyone could be sitting here serving as proxy.
No, I don't believe that. I know my daughter. She didn't drink coffee until after college, and she immediately became a coffee snob. No instant stuff for her. I had to get fancy beans for the house. She'll walk a mile out of her way for artisanal ice cream. She doesn't choose something without careful consideration, and she only wants the best she can get. So, why did she choose you?
Because I've got a good track record for this kind of conversation.
You've broken many fathers' hearts?
I've facilitated breakups with as little animosity as possible. Negotiations with shitty landlords, confrontations with sexually harassing bosses, 5 stars almost every time.
These people want to give you a good rating after putting your nose in their business?
It's only the clients who can rate, obviously. Otherwise, I'd get nothing but 1-star ratings out of spite. And I am asked to step into conversations that people are unable to handle for themselves. What, you've never been in a situation like that?
Of course I have. But I've stepped up and handled it, as you said. I don't rely on a stranger to do my dirty work.
Because you haven't had to worry about it going badly for you. That takes a lot of privilege.
Jesus Christ.
You'll never entirely understand it, Dad. The world is created for you, a straight white man. You can't imagine what it's like to be a queer woman.
Don't tell me what I can't do. How about what I can? I gave you a roof over your head. I never kicked you out of the house. I never told you you couldn't bring someone over.
What, so I could drag whatever girl I was seeing into a house constantly tuned to Fox News? To sit in a home brimming with hate and misinformation while you grilled her about her clothes or her haircut? So we could listen to you hold court on how you didn't get why gay people would want to get married or adopt, because they have enough already without rocking the boat.
We are not doing this. What happens when you insert yourself into these conversations?
Not important.
You said you break up with other women's boyfriends. That must get uncomfortable.
Actually, Frank, it can get violent. I've been grabbed, shaken, pressed up against a wall and yelled at. And that's in public. We never conduct a conversation in private. Too much risk.
Then why do it?
You say that like there's a choice.
There's always a choice.
What, like I choose to be gay?
I never said that.
But you've said it about other queer people. According to you, every person is responsible for their own choices. They can't blame anyone else for their actions.
Yes.
So you choose to be a homophobe.
I can't be a homophobe. It's in the word. Homo plus phobia. A phobia is a fear, like afraid of the dark or spiders. I'm not afraid of gay people. I'm not afraid of my own daughter.
Then why do you support people who are?
You are good. What was that?
It's all Mal. She provided the baseline, the general outline, plus a few points she wrote out verbatim. Then some improv for me to tie it all together.
You're wasted on this.
It's important work. You don't trust a conversation this important to some socially awkward asshole looking to make a quick buck. Someone like that lacks the finesse to get the necessary closure, and instead upsets the person on the other side of the table. That's when it really gets dangerous.
But you can't do this forever. It's not a career.
You might have noticed my delicate condition.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to the couple who will get a hopefully healthy baby boy.
You're not keeping it.
I'm carrying it. Isn't that enough?
So, you're some sort of surrogate?
Frank, do you think if someone were paying me to be pregnant that I would be sitting here having Mal's conversation with you?
Well, how would I know?
I'm working with an adoption agency. They put me in contact with various couples, and I chose the one I liked most. They're good people. Or at least they seem like it. Until then, working project-based gigs gives me the flexibility I need. Spoons, Mechanical Turk, Uber. Though too far away that I doubt you and I would ever cross paths.
I can't imagine you can stay behind the wheel much longer.
I'll work as close as I can to the due date. And hey, I'll have a guaranteed ride to the hospital.
And after?
Back to work. Hopefully not derailed by a C-section or rough delivery. It's not like I'll have any postpartum leave.
You never thought about keeping it?
Not a very lucrative line of work for a single mom.
Then find a better line of work.
You got a job for me, Frank?
Why don't you move back in with your parents? Unless you don't talk to them either, unless that's why Mal chose you.
Actually, I have a great relationship with my parents. You know why? Because I established boundaries when I was 19. It absolutely sucked. And they were so hurt and confused at the time, but we got past it. So don't try that shit with me, Frank. You don't know a thing about my life.
There's no need to be so doom and gloom. You're doing a good thing for someone. You don't have to raise it on your own.
No, but I have to carry it for 17 more weeks. I didn't get a say in whether I wanted it in my body in the first place.
Were you...
raped? No, Frank.
Then how...
You already know the answer. You just don't want to say it. Shouldn't know better. You're not going to ask about the guy?
Was it his responsibility to prevent this?
That's a very loaded question. Took my pill at the same time every day. Thank you very much. My bases were covered. I didn't complain about condoms cutting off feeling and beg to go bareback, knowing that the girl I was just hanging out with would go along with it because she liked me more than I liked her, and that I was the best she could get at the moment. He's not in the picture.
He's not interested in being part of this child's life.
He doesn't have a child, as far as he's concerned. Neither do I.
I think the evidence says otherwise.
What I have is a cluster of cells and a heartbeat.
Meaning?
You haven't been keeping up on the latest heartbeat bill, have you, Frank?
The what?
Your darling President Pence was positively giddy over it. It prohibits abortion once they can hear a little thump thump. Or it's more of a rushing water kind of sound.
I remember. From Mal's first ultrasound.
It means that by the time I found out that I had a cluster of cells growing inside me without my knowledge, I couldn't do anything about it. It means that if Mal were to get raped...
That's my daughter you're talking
by
about.
...by some guy who thinks all she needs is a real man, she would have to carry it to term as well.
That would never happen.
Just because you can't envision it doesn't mean it can't happen.
I can't believe that phone call the other day was our last conversation.
No one ever does.
It was actually one of our better calls. Pleasant enough, it didn't get ugly at all. She sounded almost happy.
Wouldn't you be if you had made the best decision for yourself?
So, it was relief. I had hoped things were taking a turn for the better.
What? Shit! I'm gonna have to call you back. I'm running a little behind, but almost done.
Is that Mal? Mal!
Hey, stop!
Mal, don't do this. We'll fix things. We'll start over.
Sorry.
Mal, I love you.
I'll handle this. God damn it, Frank. You just cost me a 5-star rating.
That was Mal. I had to talk to her.
She doesn't want to talk to you. There wasn't supposed to be any contact. This conversation should have been wrapped up by now. I should have been debriefing Mal, but now she's going to probably rate me 2 stars, 3 at best.
So sorry for your perfect record to get tarnished.
I don't care about some stupid record. That's just ego. I care if my license gets taken away. 1 bad rating and I'm out.
I want to hire your services to send a message back.
It doesn't work like that, Frank.
Why shouldn't it? I have something to say. You already know Mal. You know us.
I don't have any way of reaching her.
She just called you.
The throwaway Google phone number. She's gone now.
Joe... I don't know what else to do.
I know. Look, I wish I could help you, but I can't. I can only do this part of it.
Why are you crying?
Because this breaks my fucking heart. Because I wish it could be different for you and Mal.
She knows that I love her, doesn't she?
I believe that you love me, but you don't respect me. This concludes Task Force 78539. You'll be receiving an automated email from Spoons just acknowledging that everything is wrapped
up. Wait, don't go.
This conversation is over.
Don't leave me here alone.
I'm so sorry.
What? Receipts at spoons.com. How do I reach? Customer support. Yes, hello, I'm calling in regard to task 478539. Yes, it was just concluded. I don't see anywhere to give my rating. No, I'm not a client. I guess I'm the recipient or whatever you would call it. Not allowed to give ratings. I know, but I'd like to, all the same. 5 stars.
Proxies was recorded in its entirety on November 10, 2018 in New York City, featuring Liz Regan and Sean Williams. It was written by Natalie Zuter and directed by Kristen Tominosi. Sound engineering by Liz Regan. Sound design and editing by Tyler Grimes. Play development by Jamie Johnson. Artwork by Emanuela Brumana. The DTC Radio theme was written by Spencer Robelin. Proxies was a DTC Radio production. My name is Pip Gangenbach, and thank you for joining me on this adventure. You can like Distilled Theater Company on Facebook, and for behind-the-scenes photos, follow us on Instagram at Distilled Theater. Until next time, good night, Laura Dern, wherever you are.